Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I should have known better, but love makes you do irrational things. It clouds judgment and makes you blind to consequences. I never believed in all that supernatural crap before, but what happened, what I let happen, changed everything.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Lupita's eyes were hollow after the miscarriage. Our baby was gone, and so was her living spirit. It had been months since she last left the bathroom. Her sad, vacant eyes were in a constant quest for hope. Watching her spiral was a torture of its kind. Helplessly devastated, I had tried everything. Therapy, medication, time alone, time together, but nothing could pull her back. I couldn't stand seeing the love of my life wither right in front of me, haunted by the loss of a child we both wanted so desperately. So when Greg mentioned an odd, uncomfortable solution, I hopped on it.
"You know, Jack, there's this thing," he said hesitantly. "They call it a humanized doll."
"A doll?" I deadpanned.
"Not just any doll. It'll be like the child you were supposed to have."
The solution was ridiculous, but a solution nonetheless. In seconds, the order was booked. I'll never forget the day the package arrived. It was a plain brown box, no label, no return address, just sitting on the doorstep like a malignant tumor. My hands shook as I opened it. Inside, wrapped in tissue paper, was a doll so lifelike it made my breath hitch. It had Lupita's soft brown eyes, my sharp nose, and the hint of a smile that was almost too real. When Lupita saw it, the wall cracked. She cradled the doll like it was flesh and blood, cooing to it. For the first time in weeks, I had seen her smile. My heart swelled with relief. Maybe this would help her heal. Little did I know, it was the last moment of peace in our house. The first night I woke to find her in the rocking chair, the doll pressed against her chest. I thought it was a good sign. She was talking to it, humming softly, like any mother would. But as the days wore on, it became clear that this wasn't helping. It was something darker, something unexplainably wrong. Very soon, my wife stopped eating, sleeping, or talking. She spent every waking moment with that doll, feeding it, changing diapers. She named it Baby Blue. I didn't understand why, but I didn't dare ask, too afraid of what she might say. But it wasn't until the night she came at me with a knife that I realized how far gone she was.
"Stop it, PETA. This ain't real,"
I snapped, only to watch her face twist into a monstrous snarl I'd never seen before. The woman who lunged at me wasn't my Lupita. She was Baby Blue's mommy, consumed body and soul. As I stumbled backward, my eyes flicked to the doll, and I froze. Baby Blue's glassy eyes seemed to shimmer with a dark intelligence, and its tiny mouth curled into a sinister grin. The room felt colder. Was she possessed? That afternoon, I decided to stay home and watch. Everything went smoothly until night fell. It must have been around 1 a.m, and I had just drifted off to sleep when the fire alarm went off. I jolted awake to find the kitchen filled with smoke. Lupita had left a kettle on the stove and completely forgot about it.
"He was crying. He has been telling me I'm a bad mother,"
she cried, clutching Baby Blue to her chest. My blood ran cold. The doll couldn't cry. It was impossible. But she insisted, her voice rising in pitch, growing hysterical. I tried to snap her out of it, yelling that the doll wasn't real, that it was all in her head, but she wouldn't listen.
Her face went pale, and she passed out, cradling the doll like it was a real child. I rang the hospital, and help arrived. It might have been 4 a.m. when a strange noise filled the whole house. It was a sound that made my skin crawl, a faint, muffled cry like a baby.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
My heart pounded in my chest as I listened, holding my breath. It was coming from the nursery. My hands trembled as I pushed open the door, and there, in the dim light, I saw it. The doll was crying. I stared at it, horror-stricken, as the soft wailing sound filled the room. The doll's eyes, Lupita's eyes, glowed red, tiny pinpricks of light in the darkness. A cold sweat broke out on my forehead as I approached it. My heart raced as I picked it up, and the crying stopped abruptly. My hands shook as I examined it, feeling something hard beneath its synthetic skin. I tore it open, the synthetic flesh giving way under my hands, and found a small black device nestled inside. It was a camera. That means we were being watched this whole time? A sickening realization washed over me as I dug deeper. The people who were spying on us had turned Lupita's life into a twisted form of entertainment. I gathered the evidence, the doll and the camera, and contacted the authorities. We filed charges for invasion of privacy, harassment, and emotional distress. The cybercrime department tried to trace the website, but it led to a block. People who use dark web are masters in hiding and staying in the dark. I was warned strictly for choosing to buy items from the illegal front of the internet. We changed house and phone numbers to stay away from further stalkers. Lupita is still undergoing psychiatric counseling to deal with the loss of our child and the trauma caused by that doll. All I have understood is that grief is the love which has nowhere to go, but we shouldn't let it decide our lives. As long as we're alive, we must keep living. Moving forward is the real meaning of life, no matter how many storms try to knock you down. I got a text from some girl late last night.
Do not click on this link,
it said. It was a shortened YouTube URL. Usually I ignore such messages, but yesterday was a bit rough and I wasn't in the mood to write the novel which I was working on. So I clicked on that link. It redirected me to YouTube, where a video about some circus from the 60s in Bombay started playing. Do not forward the video to 221 minutes, was written in the title. So, of course I did. I shouldn't have done that. At exactly 221 seconds, I paused the video. Everything looked quite ordinary. A black and white footage, 3 elephants in the back, a few dwarves ahead, and a bunch of people around. But right in the center was a large drum, on which was written, Comment 13. Curiously, I scrolled down to the comment number 13 in that video, which linked to another YouTube video. I recently started my YouTube channel where I post funny writing advice. The link from that comment took me to my own video, one which I had uploaded 3 days ago. It was an informative video, a rant on the current status of the publishing industry, but right from the start, something was different. It started with a few glitches in the video, and then some random numbers and letters started popping up in it. And then, my voice suddenly grew heavier and heavier, and then midway into it, the screen went black. The numbers and letters that were dancing around, they soon converged into a new message. It was my home address. I instinctively shut my laptop and walked out of the room. That was a whole new level of creepy fascination someone could have online. How she got my address, I didn't know. I had no clue as to how she toyed with my video. It should have been impossible. I walked into the kitchen and filled myself a glass of orange juice. When I was back in my room and opened my laptop, I had another message from the same girl.
Hope I didn't scare you,
it read. I wondered if I should reply or not, but I had a bunch of unanswered questions, so I had to ask. I put my orange juice to my side and started chatting with her. How did you know my address? How did you tweak my video? There was no reply for a few minutes, and then I got an image, a rather explicit image of a rather gorgeous woman with a rather voluptuous body. Long, dark hair, white tank top over yoga pants, shades, screamed the complete Instagram it girl.
What do you think about me?
She texted next, but I couldn't get my eyes off her image, her top in particular. Not staring at the tatas, but there was a symbol in the center of her top which freaked the daylights out of me. It's a symbol I made for the purposes of my novel. The novel isn't published yet. Hell, it isn't even complete yet. I haven't even shared the draft with anyone at this point. Then how the hell did she know the exact symbol and even got it printed on her top? I lost it. I barely abuse girls, but this time my messages started and ended with swears. I need answers. Tell me the answers.
Don't be afraid, babe. It's our little secret.
The fuck it is? Did you hack my computer? I'll go to the police.
Hack a computer? I barely even know how to work PowerPoint.
How do you know my address? How did you get that symbol?
I guessed.
You guessed? Nostradamus just rolled in his grave. Tell me, who the hell are you and how are you doing this?
I just want to be your friend, babe.
Stop calling me that. Just answer my questions.
I already told you the answer.
What? Where?
You didn't read the 13th comment on that YouTube video completely, did you?
I was pissed off. I didn't even know if it was a girl or some scamster who was trying to blackmail me. I went through the entire process again and landed at that circus video. Scrolled down furiously to the 13th comment. The last time I was at it, it just had the YouTube link to my tempered video. This time, there was a text. Don't scroll down to the 20th comment. I wondered how she was doing this. I scrolled down immediately to the 20th comment, which read, "Don't click on this link." I clicked on that link and arrived at my own blog from 7 years ago, on which there was a suggested edit now, which said, "Don't go into the edit logs of this blog." I rushed to the edit logs, just wanting this mystery to end, and it did. In the edit logs, a previous version of that answer existed, which just read this, "Thank you for the delicious orange juice." I looked to my right. My glass of orange juice was empty, and I had not had a single drop of it.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Meeting Kelly felt like something out of a dream. A weird, dark dream, but a dream nonetheless. I've never been the type of guy who gets the girl. Hell, I've never even been the type of guy who talks to the girl. My comfort zone has always been behind a computer screen where I could control the conversation, where my awkwardness didn't show, and where I wasn't constantly reminded of how much of a loser I am. I wasn't looking for anything special when I stumbled into the dark web chat room. It was more out of boredom than anything else. But then I met Kelly. She was different from anyone I'd ever talked to. Confident, funny, and actually interested in what I had to say. She didn't just tolerate my nerdy ramblings, she engaged with them, made me feel like I mattered. For someone like me, who's always been a bit of a loner, that meant the world. Kelly wasn't perfect. She had her issues, just like I did. She told me about her struggle with hair loss, a condition that made her feel invisible and unattractive. She said no guy ever looked at her the way she wanted to be looked at. That hit me hard because I know what it felt like to be overlooked, to feel like you don't matter. We bonded over the shared feeling of not fitting in, and before long I found myself falling for her. After weeks of late-night chats, we decided it was time to meet in person. We picked an abandoned children's park out in the middle of nowhere. It seemed perfect. A quiet, out-of-the-way spot where we could finally see each other without any pressure. I was nervous as hell, but I couldn't wait to see her. The park was even creepier than I'd imagined. The sun had just set, leaving everything in that dim, unsettling twilight where nothing feels quite real. I got there early, sat on a bench near an old, rusted swing set, and waited. The place was dead quiet, and with each passing minute, my nerves started to get the best of me. Then, I noticed him, a creepy old man sitting on a bench a little ways off. He was just staring at me. Not a casual glance, but a full-on, unsettling stare. I tried to ignore him, but it wasn't easy. I pulled out my phone and texted Kelly, asking how long she'd be. She replied that she was walking because she couldn't catch a cab. Great, I thought. Just what I needed, to be stuck here alone with this weirdo watching me. I shifted on the bench, trying to act like I wasn't bothered, but I couldn't help it. The old man's stare was drilling into me, and every instinct I had was screaming that something was wrong. Then he stood up and started walking toward me. My heart skipped a beat. I'm not usually paranoid, but this guy was seriously creeping me out. I got up and started walking away, texting Kelly the whole time, telling her about the old man and that I was moving to another spot. She told me to wait a few minutes, that she'd be there soon, but I couldn't wait. I just needed to get away. I spotted a bus stop at the edge of the park, lit by a flickering streetlight. It wasn't much, but it was something. I made my way there, trying to calm myself down. As I reached the bus stop, I looked back and there he was, standing across the street, grinning at me. That grin sent a shiver down my spine. It was like he knew something I didn't, like he was enjoying my fear. I needed to hear Kelly's voice, to know that she was real and that this wasn't some messed up joke. But I didn't have her number. We'd been so caught up in our chat room world that we never thought to exchange phone numbers. I cursed myself for that, then texted her, saying the internet was spotty and asking for her number. She didn't reply right away, and those few seconds felt like an eternity. Finally, her number popped up in the chat. I didn't waste a second. I called it immediately. The phone rang once, then twice, and then I heard it. The ringtone, echoing through the empty street. My heart sank. I looked around, but the street was deserted. No sign of Kelly. No sign of anyone. Panic set in. I looked across the street again, but the old man was gone. That should have made me feel better, but it didn't. Everything about this felt wrong. My hands were shaking as I dialed her number again. The ringtone started up, louder this time, closer, right behind me. I turned around slowly, every muscle in my body tense. The old man was crouched on the bus stop bench, grinning at me like he'd just won some sick game.
"Hello, Ryan," he said, his voice dripping with malice. "I hope my hair is fine for you. I didn't want to wear a wig on our first date."
I stared at him, my mind racing to make sense of what was happening. Kelly's words, her stories about her hair loss, her vulnerability, it all came crashing down on me in a sickening realization. This wasn't Kelly. It had been him all along. He lunged at me, and I reacted without thinking. My fist connected with his face, and he stumbled back, blood streaming from his nose. I didn't wait to see what he'd do next. I turned and ran, his voice echoing after me.
"Stop, Ryan! Stop! I thought you were different. I thought you loved me!"
I didn't stop running until I was back at my apartment, the door locked behind me, my heart pounding in my chest. I couldn't believe what had just happened. I felt sick, violated, like I'd been played from the start.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I wiped my phone and computer clean that night, erasing every trace of that chat room. of Kelly, if that was even her real name, of everything. I was done with the dark web, done with trusting people online. I learned my lesson the hard way. The dark web is a dangerous place, and sometimes the people you meet there aren't people at all.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.